Good morning, Wake. How are we doing this morning? All right. It's Labor Day weekend. I know there's a lot going on for you guys, but I am glad for the remnant, for the few of you guys who are here at church this Sunday. All right. We are doing our last message in our series, What If? And we've been in this series. I got to share the first week. We were in John chapter 5, looking at the story of Jesus healing the man at the pool of Bethesda. And then last week, Luke took us to John chapter 4, and he answered the question, what if I am sent? My question, the question we answered the first week was, what if I am healed? And then this week, we are going to answer the question, what if I don't know how? What if I don't know how? So if I'm saved, right, I'm healed, and then I am sent, and I realize, as Luke shared last week, like the story of the woman at the well being sent and going and sharing her new purpose and testimony with her friends, what if I don't know how? What if I, as a middle schooler, don't know how to follow Jesus on a daily basis? And so I want to get really, really practical in what it looks like for you guys to daily follow Jesus as we dive into this last message. Real quick, if we haven't met before, my name is Jonathan, and I want to tell you a quick story about my wife and I. So about 8 months ago, we bought a house. And so we bought our house in Richardson. We loved it. But here's the issue with our house. For a few months there, we started living and we noticed this thing growing in our backyard. And it was this shrub right here. This really, really ugly, I don't know if you'd call it a tree. I don't know if you'd call it a shrub, but it was ugly. So I did what any guy would decide to do when there was an ugly shrub in his backyard. I decided I was going to chop it down. You see in the bottom there, that's my little hatchet. So I was like, all right, I was going to take a before and after picture of like what it would look like to cut it down. So I get in and I start chopping down this little shrub. But unfortunately, I'm a few hacks into this shrub and a large stick flies off of that little shrub and directly into my eye. Went right in. And I went and I crawled. I couldn't see. I crawled into the living room. And my wife had to drive me to the emergency room. And it didn't like go in and stay there. That'd be pretty nasty. But it did go in and scratch my eye. And then it fell out. So I went to the emergency room. And for 4 days, I couldn't see out of my left eye. Right? It got really swelled up. It was really scratched. It just felt like there was constantly a rock in my eye because of the scratch. And so I found out that I had scratched my cornea. And I was about a few millimeters away from scratching, I guess, my retina or the middle part of my eye. I think those are the right terms. But I had to go on multiple doctor's visits, and they had to give me continual prescription eye drops to let my eye heal over a few different days. And so, and it was really, really painful. And I was pretty much just laying in bed every day, and I couldn't really use my left eye. I could occasionally use my right eye. But anyways, all that to be said, the moral of this story is I still have an ongoing battle with this shrub. And so I have a present day picture of this shrub. It's still growing. I went back after my eye healed, chopped it down. I have cut down this shrub 4 times and it is still growing back. All right. And so the reason that it is growing back is because that shrub is so deeply connected in the ground. What you see there is so deeply connected really to all the vines and the roots that are growing in the ground. And it just keeps coming back up, right? And so the reason that I tell you that story is because today we're going to be talking about what it means to abide. And a picture actually Jesus uses in John 15 is a branch abiding, or a vine abiding to its to the vine. And basically that is kind of even a picture for you guys of what it looks like, right, for this to constantly be happening. And I'm still at war with this little shrub here. But all that to say, we are going to start, and as we dive into John chapter 15, I kind of want to share with you guys about what it looks like for us to have a response to Jesus in our hearts, to have a response to what if the question, or what if I answer the question, am I saved, is yes, and then the question is, am I sent, right? Have I been given a new purpose, is yes. How? How do I now practically do that on a daily basis? And so I'm going to answer the question, what if I don't know how to daily follow Jesus? Right? And so turn with me, if you have a Bible, John chapter 15. We're going to be spending our time there, and I'm going to start reading in verse 8 because Connor already read for us the passage we're going to be in today. So if you have a Bible, John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, here's my encouragement. Bring your physical Bible to Wake. We're going to open it every single week at Wake, and we're going to sit in a passage, and so bring your Bible. All right, if you have a turn, John chapter 15, verse 8, I'm going to start reading. It says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." We're going to stop right there. It says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." And so if you have a Bible, circle the word "this." Right? It says, "By this my Father is glorified." So whatever this is really important, right? If it brings glory to the Father, then we need to figure out what is the this that he is talking about. What glorifies the Father? And he says, right, that you bear much fruit. So I would almost even draw an arrow, right? The this that he's talking about is that you bear much fruit. And that is how we bring glory to the Father. Right? And so here's just a quick Bible study tip for you guys. The Bible is what we use to help us understand the Bible. We're going to use Scripture to interpret Scripture. And so the answer to what it means to bear fruit and how we bear fruit is found actually a few verses back. So we're going to go back now to verse 5, which Connor read, to answer that question. Because if it brings glory to the Father for us to bear fruit, how do we bear fruit is the question that is left in my mind. Thankfully, John 15, 5 answers it for us. It says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So, after reading this verse, my question is this: how do we bear fruit? It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." And so again, you can even underline that part. Abides in me. Whoever abides in me, they are the ones who bear fruit, right? But now I'm left with the question, well, what does it mean to abide? Maybe some of you have a picture, an idea of what that looks like in your head, but that's the ultimate question that I want to answer for us this morning. What does it mean to abide? Right? And we're going to come back to that question, but I want to keep reading through this passage and we're going to unpack a few other questions. Verse 9 says this: "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." There's that word again, abide. Verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love." Right? So two more times we see that word abide. And in verse 10, we actually get an explanation of what it means to abide. And so in verse 10 specifically, who can explain to me what it means to abide? Says it really practical right there. If you keep my commandments, you will what? Abide in me, right? You abide in my love. And so we see in verse 10, right? There's an explanation of what it means to abide. In this verse, Jesus is saying, he's saying, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. So that is one explanation that Jesus is using here of how we abide. So my encouragement to you guys this morning is to keep God's commandments. Let's pray. Just kidding, right? Some of you guys were really excited. You were ready to run out, play some video games, right? That would be not a great ending to our message if I just told you to keep God's commandments and that's how you abide with him, right? Who in here knew that they were supposed to keep God's commandments? Everyone, right? Yeah, I hope so. I hope that you know when you come to church that you're going to hear a message about keeping God's commandments. But more than that, I hope you know that when you come to church, you're going to hear a message about God's love and about how he has died for you and sent his son for you. And so we're going to talk about how his love impacts the way that we have a daily relationship with him. So we're not just keeping commandments. And I even want to get a little practical in this. And so, you know, specifically, right, when I say that we are supposed to keep God's commandments, everyone in this room knew that that is true, right? And there's really a couple ways that we can do this. And so the first way is that you can try really, 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 really hard to keep God's commandments. You can memorize his word. You can pray. You can teach and try to study and learn the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you can study this book every single day, and you can try your hardest to keep all of his commandments. And the second way that I would propose to you is that you can devote your life to the Lord and that you can realize that you can't do all of those things on your own. You can't try really, really, really hard and be good enough or to keep all of his commandments on your own. But you can do them with God. And so that's the difference that I want to point out for us this morning. There is a lot of Christian things that you guys can do for God. And you can try really hard to do them all on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. But my encouragement to you guys is that abiding looks like us doing those commandments and keeping those with God. And so I don't even want to look back at John 15:5. Let's read this verse again. It says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And I want to stop again, and I want to look at that word abide there in John 15:5. Right, in the original language, in the original Greek language, this word can be translated as remaining. Maybe some of your Bibles have that word. It doesn't say abide, it says remain. Remain in me. Right? But that word abide, it's actually a verb. Right? It's not a belief or a feeling. It is something that we do. It's like running, yelling, talking, walking. It's active. Right? Abiding is an active participation. It's not just this characteristic. It is something that we do. And so my definition for abiding, this doesn't have to be yours, but is that it means to be actively present with God. There is an activity happening when you abide with Jesus, to be actively present with God. And I don't want you to miss this, because I think, again, you can do a bunch of things. You can be a good kid, come to church every week, go to small group, answer all the Christian right things and answer all the right answers. But you can miss it if you don't truly abide with Jesus. If you do a lot of things for him, but you don't do them with him. And I want to get really practical in this, and here's what I mean specifically. All right, I want you to imagine a scenario with me. You're in school, you're walking into the cafeteria, and you know, you walk by a table of someone sitting by themselves, and the immediate thought can run in your mind, man, I know I'm supposed to go sit with that person. I know I'm a Christian. I know that I'm supposed to love other people. So I probably should go sit by that person. I should see that. I should think about that. I should try really hard and go. And I should just try really hard to go and love that person sitting by themselves. Or I would present another option to you, that you would walk into the cafeteria and that you would pray. And maybe your prayer would look something like this. Lord, would you help me to have eyes for someone who needs a friend today? Someone who needs hope and a relationship with you. Would you be with me and give me eyes to see people the way that you do? And so you're not walking into the cafeteria going, oh man, like I guess I got to do this today. I got to go find the person that needs a friend, that needs someone to sit with them. That you would walk in and that you would go, Lord, would you give me eyes? Would you be with me? There is an activity here. There is a constant and mutual participation between you and Jesus. You are seeing him walk into the cafeteria with you and go, Jesus, will you help me? God, will you help me have eyes to see this room in the way that you do? I don't want to ask you guys to do more Christian things, to keep more commandments just by trying harder. Because the reality is, it is exhausting and hard to keep all of God's commandments if we don't abide with him. There's an old mentor of mine in college, this guy that is a lot older than me. He was about 80, and I remember meeting with him a few times in college. And I remember one time him explaining to me what his relationship with the Lord looked like over 80 years. And he described his relationship with the Lord in three different stages of his life. He said, Jonathan, there was a time in my life where I realized that God was my savior, right? I trusted him for eternal life, for salvation. I made a decision to believe in him, and he was my savior. A few years went on, and then I started to really see God as my father, right? That he was loving, caring. I could trust him. I started to understand more about his character, and he really became my father in a lot of ways. He said, and here's the last part. towards the end of my life, the last probably 10, 15 years, I've started to see God as my friend. That he is constantly next to me. And he would describe to me the ways that he would walk around the campus. And he would truly envision God, Jesus just walking with him. What is it like if I would walk this campus with the same eyes that God had? That I would see people in the same ways that God did. That he would be truly my friend. The last example I'd give to you guys, I remember specifically, again, to continue to be practical in this, because I think we can have this lofty idea of what does it mean to abide, but I want to get practical of what does it look like for you guys to do that in your daily lives in relationship with the Lord. And so an example I would give you, I remember probably the third small group that I visited. This was probably 2.5 years ago in Wake. You know, my third small group I visited, I remember going, and these leaders, it was a group of 8th grade boys. And these leaders asked the students in the room, they said, hey, what does it look like for you guys to pray? Like, what are some of the prayers that you guys say or ask the Lord for? What are some of the things that you say to him? And I remember this boy sitting there, and he raised his hand, and the leader called on him, and he said, you know, sometimes when I pray, I just start by asking God how his day was. And I remember sitting there and being like, what? Like, I've never heard someone say that before. The faith of this 8th grader to go, I just stop and I just ask God, like, how's your day going? To me in that moment, that communicated that that student understood that God was his friend, right? In the same way, he didn't come and go, Lord, please help me on this test and this sports game. Here's my 5 or 10 requests for you. I normally just start by opening my Bible and reading a verse. It's like, man, he had a friendship with God. And I'm not saying that you need to start all your prayers by asking the Lord how his day was, but I do think that you can learn from that example and go, man, what does it look like for me to have a friendship with God? What does it look like for me to have a true friendship with God? Right? And so that means in conversations, right, with other people, or when you're practicing in your sports teams or at different places, or when you're doing homework, or you're at the dinner table, in all of those places, that you would look and stop and pray and go, how would the Lord have me interact with people in these moments? What would he have me share? What would he have me think? What would he have me say? What would he have me do? That there would constantly be a friendship with the Lord. I want to look at verse 11 as we close. It says this in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Right? And so Jesus shares all of these things, what it means and what it looks like to abide in him, that there's an active joint participation, that there is a friendship that he wants you to have with him. And he says, I share all of these things with you so that your joy may be full. And so if the answer to the question of do you want to be healed, right? The first question we started with, what if I'm healed? What if I'm saved? What if I see Jesus as my Savior? What if that's true? And then the next question we ask in this series was, what if I am sent? What if you realize you've been given a new purpose and a new mission, right? Maybe for you, that's seeing Jesus as your Father. I have a relationship with him. I'm still trying to figure out what it looks like, but I know all of these great characteristics about him. If the answer to that question is also true, you realize you are saved and sent, then today I would encourage you to do all of those things in a friendship with the Lord. That you would be sent in a way that you know that abiding with Jesus looks like you actively participating with him. Because the reality is, guys, John 15:5 says, apart from him, you can do nothing. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Imagine, right, that shrub that just keeps popping up in my yard. If you were to cut out all the roots, if I were to get a giant shovel and somehow be able to dig up all the roots and cut them out and then replant just the top part of that little shrub in the ground, it would die pretty much immediately because it's not connected, because there's no active participation between the roots and the vine. And the same is true for us. When we try to do every single Christian thing that we think is the right thing to do or that we know is the right thing to do, and we try to do them without God, it leaves us dry It leaves us tired, and it leaves us disconnected from God. And so I'm not saying, guys, don't read your Bible, don't pray, don't continue on in some of the spiritual disciplines that you've been walking in. But my encouragement to you is that this morning that you would do those things with God and not just for God. So this is your invitation to start abiding with Jesus. Spend time this week in John 15 and ask yourself this question: do I have a friendship with God? Do I have a friendship with God? Because he wants to have a friendship with you. Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for the opportunity that we have to study your word and learn what it looks like to be close with you. And the only way that we can do that is because you've sent your son to die on a cross with us, die on a cross for us. And that because he died on a cross for us, we can spend eternal life and eternity with him in heaven. Lord, I pray that students in this room would realize what it looks like, not for God just to be their Savior and their Father, but they would realize that they can be your friend and that you are constantly inviting them in to be in relationship and friendship with you on a daily basis. Would you help my heart to abide with you? Would you help these students to abide with you, that when they walk into rooms and in different conversations and in their friendships and sports teams and in their families, that they would stop and think about you and not just think about the Christian things that they can do for you, that they would stop and pray and ask you what it looks like and how you would have them interact with those around them. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.